Dwarf Man Pog.
What are you doing? I was turning the volume down on this. Sorry, I was trying to turn the volume down on you. I knew you were going to shout.
It's the Dwarf Man Podcast. Welcome along, Declan Murr.
Hello.
Pointed before I even said your name.
You did.
I'm Rory Tobin over there.
Hello.
As well. How you doing, lads?
Good.
Sorry. Good week. Good to be back, you know, getting to the swing of things again.
You don't care, really. You want to hurry this up because you've got football to get to.
Yeah, well, look, you don't need to tell the sisters that.
They'd like to know. He's sitting there in his shorts. His calves are lovely.
Yeah. Or an Inter Milan jersey.
Only the one, really.
Only one calf?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Right, it's preferable, isn't it?
True. And my boots. Right, that's enough of that. What are you wearing? Let's talk through this, right? I'm going to start with questions as usual, lads. We've got through the lovely intro. Mario Balotelli, he was the second non-American player to appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated last week, which is a big achievement for footballers worldwide, I think.
Yeah, quite a fascinating
name.
I want to know though, lads, is what footballer or footballing personality or somebody from the world of football would you have on a magazine, and what magazine?
Right, I'm going to start off straight out here with more of a kind of similarity that I picked up on in characters. I would have Neil Razor Ruddock, and I would have him on the Dandy, because of the similarities.
As soon as you said Razor Ruddock, I was like,
Desperate
Dan,
yeah. I guarantee he's eating a few,
eating
a few steak and kidney pies in his day, and he's probably said eight a lot as well.
He definitely looks like he's been eating a few pies.
Doesn't he, Razor? Especially in his later years. I mean, back then, half a pie. Now, like 12 pies or something like that.
12 pies in one sitting.
Do you weigh all the pies?
Yeah, I think that would look good.
I think it suits
the dandy.
Yeah, I like it.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, you know, it's fun to keep the dandy handy, you know? Do they still like the dandy?
I'd say so. Desperate Dan's had a bit of a makeover, so he doesn't look as... Fat. He didn't look like he did in my day, you know?
Doesn't look as... Ruddocky.
No, yeah, I was going to say rugged.
Rugged and ruddocky.
He probably has shaved and, you know, cut it. It's probably, you know, not good for him to be eating all these pies. Now it's, you know, teaching the kids that it's all right to just eat massive, you know,
amounts of pies. Yeah. Political correctness.
It's gone mad.
So we can blame the dandy on childhood obesity.
Or Razor Ruddock. We can blame Razor Ruddock and childhood obesity.
Desperate Dan is definitely the role model that I had when I was growing up.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. That's a good answer. I like that one. Brought lols to the group. What about yourself?
Well, I'd like to see if we could replace the guy on the cover of Mad Magazine, you know, with Charlie Adam. Just to see if anyone would notice that any change has occurred at all.
It's a strange one.
That's so perfect. I can definitely see that. It's probably the gaps in the teeth as well. Scott Carson could probably get in there as well.
Yeah, he's not
quite the same.
Yeah,
he's not as ugly as we're trying to say. Yeah. But he's gummy.
Yeah, he's gummy.
No, that's fair enough. We've both gone for two kind of cartoon characters, whereas not what Sports Illustrated is.
Yeah, well, I'm sure all of us thought I'd just throw someone on the cover of Nuts or something.
Well, yeah, mine's kind of similar enough to that.
Andy Gray on Nuts.
Yes. No, it's not. Andy Gray and Richard Keys on some woman's magazine.
How did none of us say that? Actually, they're back on Al Jazeera.
Yeah.
That's probably exactly where they belong. Not to be awful about it, but women's rights aren't huge in those countries.
They won't be getting sacked for any abuse towards women.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Richard have married another girl. Oh,
they Andy. They start giving out with their wearing... Too little, you know?
Yeah.
Cover that up. That's not modest enough.
You're a slag. Anyway, go on, sorry.
I was just thinking something along those lines. I was thinking, because we have the World Cup in Brazil and all that, Russia, and then Qatar, but as I was saying, when Sepp Blatter announced it, you know, and he said, what about homosexuals? Because they're not, you know, they're frowned upon over those country Middle East. So I was thinking, get Sepp Blatter on the front of... I haven't even said it, I know, but... on the front of one of those top shelf magazines, men's magazines, doing some erotic poses in the build up to the World Cup in Qatar. You know, get the publicity behind him and a couple of, you know, well built men kicking a football around on the beach or standing around in an office all sweaty. And see how it goes down. Yeah, he likes it, Robert.
That's fantastic. I think honourable mentions also have to go out to Harry Redknapp on the front of Men's Health.
Did you hear it?
Looking like a scrambled egg up there.
Scrambled egg?
He just looks like this, like a scrambled egg. But also, it's worth just briefly talking seriously about the whole Mario Balotelli thing. It's a really fascinating... I suppose he's a fascinating enough character for them to want to interview. It's unusual because it's not like it's come from, you know, he scored a World Cup winning goal and therefore they've interviewed him. Similar to, it was Beckham who was the other, you know, non-American who appeared on the cover. And obviously that's more because he moved. I could be wrong with the years, but I imagine that's because he moved to America at the time.
Or, I mean, it could have just been that the fact that he's...
David Beckham.
He's David Beckham.
Yeah, and everyone wants him on the cover of a magazine. But it's a Balotelli's a fascinating one because he's not seen in the same... You know, a lot of people call him, use him as a panto villain type thing, and to have him on the cover of Sports
panto villain, yeah. The Man City goalkeeper.
But he's you know, a fascinating option for. I'm looking forward to reading the actual interview.
No, you're not. You're not gonna read. You can't read. Lovely. Mario Balotelli, interesting character all around. Kind of miss him in a way, but don't miss him in another way.
He might be back if. You know, all this racism keeps up in Italy.
Yeah, well, that's probably going to happen. Anyway, moving on, we're just going to talk... Transfer window hasn't shut yet. Still another few days to... Honestly, listen, after Monday, then it has. So, tough.
By the time of recording, it hasn't.
One of the main things we want to talk about, though, is the massive, overinflated prices clubs are paying because the financial fair play is coming in this year or next year. And just how absolutely ridiculous some of the bids. Like, 100 million for Bale. Like, how can they justify paying 100 million for Gareth Bale? Or can they? Can Real Madrid justify it?
Well, you can justify it in the sense of there's players moving for 60 million and 70 million. Like,
but that's the point. It's 100 million on one footballer almost. And it may not be 100 at the end, but, you know, whatever, it might be 94 million now. It's going to be over 3 years. But even the money that Monaco pay for Falcao, like, what was it, 54 million? Buy him just because you have all that money. Like, what to do with the football?
You're saying that, I suppose it's not the exact same, but Zidane was about 53 million, wasn't he?
Was Zidane even that expensive?
Yeah, it was.
53 million?
About 53. It was up in the 50s anyway.
It was the same with Kaká. Kaká cost it.
Yeah, well, I think there's a... I suppose at the time it seemed like a good idea.
Yeah.
It was a drunken bid, but...
But almost, Ronaldo has... You know, he's justified his fee, you could say, with 200 goals or something in Madrid.
Yeah, maybe Bale will in the future justify.
Well, I'm not saying he won't, but just in terms of, you know, 100 million almost for a player who hasn't done as much as Ronaldo did when he moved. It just seems like all these clubs are spending huge money now to avoid, they just don't care about the financial.
Maybe Real are getting better at scouting players. They're not. They don't need them to do as much as Ronaldo did. They wait till they're, you know, low key players like Gareth Bale.
Yeah, and buy them on the cheap.
Yeah. You don't want to be buying Gareth Bale in a few years when his price has gone inflated.
Well, he's up to 300 million. You know, outrageous amounts of money.
You know, you factor in the economics of it, like inflation and all. Like it's good business actually. No, but on a serious note, when you look at teams like Arsenal, we're talking about, we said last week, and I was saying spend, and the fans are saying spend, and they still haven't spent anything in the summer. But at the same time, over the years, it's almost been admirable that they haven't gone and thrown 40 million at a striker. I know it seems to be that they're kind of almost half willing to do it this summer if they can get the right player, but it's a bit of a hit and miss approach. Like, oh, we want Ozil, we want Higuain, and then when it comes, push comes to shove, and there's literally 4 or 5 million in the difference between, you know, Higuain moving to Napoli or Higuain moving to Arsenal. Why not just pay the extra 4 million if at the end of the day he scores his 20 goals just on average?
So. I think that's what we're saying. I think, you know, logically, our problem isn't that Wenger's not throwing away 50 million on a striker. It's that he won't pay the extra 5 or 6 and maybe overspend a little, not in the sense of 100 million as we're talking, but maybe overspend a little to basically, you know, cover his team. Like, I mean, you were talking last week, you made the excellent point that none of us are huge Gervinho fans, but why sell Gervinho for 6 million?
Buy anybody.
Yeah, and then you say you have that extra 6 million anyway. You know, be a bit Liverpool about it. We have 50 million for Torres. We'll buy Andy Carroll for 30. Why not? But on the point of Bale, it's worth talking about as well. Gerardo Martino criticised the the Fia's what were his exact words now? It was
I don't know.
Lacking respect, I think, is
for the world.
For the world.
It's just the world in general.
Which I can see where he's coming from, but interestingly enough, you know, you can't pick and choose like that where Neymar costs 60.
Yeah.
Upwards of 60.
And
yeah.
You know, I know it's 40 million the difference, but you can't say 60 million's all right and 100's not. No.
Yeah, well, if you're talking about respect, like, they could have easily spent 100 million on Neymar if that was the price that they got him for cheaper.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like, it's hard. Although, to be fair to him, he wasn't there when they signed him. So it's not directly on him.
Oh, yeah.
But no. I know he's representing the club of Barcelona. Yeah. They have the third or fourth highest one as well in Ibrahimovic. I mean,
yeah.
He spent about...
And Barcelona have a terrible record. Like, Chigunsi cost 20 million.
Yeah. Mm. I mean...
complete waste of money.
Almost. Alexis Sanchez was 30-something million. Like, there's just these players that you don't think cost that much because it wasn't a record-breaking fee or anything.
Yeah,
that's
hard to break records,
kinda,
he says.
Yeah, but it's kind of swept under the carpet. I mean... Real Madrid have already spent 34 million on Otamendi this season, and they spent almost 30 on Isco. Like,
yeah,
but you just don't think about that.
Is it going to spend?
Like, that's a huge amount of money.
Now they might make some of it back with Di Maria or Ozil, somebody leaving, but they're going to be spending near enough 200 million
yeah.
on transfers. This is absolutely
and
ludicrous. Saying,
like Man City have already spent 80 something million.
Yeah.
At this stage, Spurs it seems are going to.
Keep spending.
Keep going. I'd say over 80 million because they're already almost on 60 at this stage.
But at least like, that's divided up.
Yeah, instead of on one player.
It's silly the way we're talking about that they have this money to spend, but at least that's, you know, obviously between a few players. The 100 million on a once-off bid on a player like Bale just seems to be kind of confusing everyone.
But that's not a once-off in this transfer market, though, for Real Madrid. Like, if you say, all right, 100 million is a lot, they could buy a couple of different players.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If they have,
they've already
if they have
bought,
160
yeah.
million
yeah.
and they sign three players, that's dividing.
This is stuff we talked about. Yeah, it's the stuff we talked about last week.
If you have the money to spend, should you, almost? Like, it's not Paris
yeah.
Saint-Germain's fault that they fell into this money or Monaco.
Or Monaco, yeah.
But, like,
I suppose you can't be too ethical around this stuff either.
Yeah.
When you're,
there is no
you're,
ethics.
Yeah, there's no ethics, yeah. When you've got 100... When you've got the option, which... It's, you know, we talk about this all the time, that Real Madrid are in debt, where are they getting this money? It's always, you know, bailouts and stuff like that. For
bailouts?
God. But, you know, I suppose when you're a club like Real Madrid, who, if people are going to call you the bad guys anyway, there's especially not going to be ethics
yeah.
around it. You know, you go for whoever.
Yeah,
but I mean, every club is guilty of it in some way. Like,
Speak for yourself. Reluctant to spend any money.
That's the highest the Celtic have paid this season, 3 million.
What's the highest Celtic have ever paid?
I think it's 6.
For who?
John Hart and Chris Sutton.
Both
of them were 6 million.
Okay.
Oh,
that was for the both. That was like, that's actually a pretty good.
But did you
I mean,
you had the same club.
Maybe they tried to get them on a Gravesen type thing where they said they were the same player and they made Hart wear a wig.
Interesting. I didn't know. 6 million on Chris Sutton and John Hartson, really.
Yeah.
Jesus. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money for Celtic.
Mm.
Yeah, but back in those days.
Well, actually, did take the Celtic as an example of a team who spent money really well in the last few years, really
yeah.
scouting, and they haven't gone and broke the bank, even though there's probably a bit of money there to spend. And not a lot. I don't mean it's like,
yeah.
I don't mean it's 20, 30 million to throw around right like that, but Champions League, 2 years in a row, and a good run last year, and a little bit more money, but they haven't gone down that self-indulgent route that Rangers went down. And
yeah, which.
Yeah.
I think possibly because they have that so close to them that they know.
And they always know they don't have to spend until Rangers are back.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Champions League, to keep it up,
yeah,
you'd want to spend a bit of money. But you're right in terms
Which
of like...
Lennon has... We'll get on to later, but he's indicated that he will do.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's not that much money there.
Yeah.
And spending what money you can...
So it's 20 million coming in for the Champions League around that.
Yeah,
team.
But I mean, it's not going
to... This doesn't mean you have to admit to spend,
yeah,
know that.
It,
but like, there will be a little bit of money. And the sales of Wanyama, as we said, and Hooper, you know, it's almost 20 million there. So you look and say, you must have a bit of money to spend somewhere
yeah.
along the line. Otherwise, how's the club operating? Because they wouldn't be getting, you know, that 50 million every season almost in.
I know it's a bit mad to say this, and it's stupid because everyone's blinded by nostalgia, but it just feels that this is such a ridiculous step up, even from. when we were younger used to watch football. I remember relatives of mine having the top trump cards, and this is at a time when, you know, I was basically learning Premier League stuff. And I remember seeing, you know, Mendieta in there at that fee with the highest wages in the world at the time. I think
he was from Lazio to Juventus, or
Lazio
Valencia.
But, you know, I remember looking at it at the time and being like, that's, you know, it, like, for a kid to comprehend that kind of money. I mean, what must it like look like now? I mean, it's, you know, 30's a big number back then. It's like 100 million.
It's just
for a player like Bale, who it was not, I mean, even Zidane, I suppose, I kind of grew up in a time where I got to know how world class he was after they'd signed him for that much. And you go,
of course he spent that much.
Of course. You know, with Ronaldo, I suppose you probably get to that point where you're like, he's probably the best player in the world along with Messi. For Bale, it just seems insane. There's just no way. And I suppose it's the same with, you know, we're talking Monaco. You know, James Rodriguez is up there, Falcao is up there. You know, these outrageous fees.
Yeah, it seems to be like those teams, Monaco and Paris Saint-Germain, have that kind of money. But almost this season, just out of nowhere, it just went mental. Like, teams just were throwing money around.
There is that thing where you see it a lot, or like the smaller teams now that have a lot of money.
Southampton
and Norwich throwing money around. I mean, they've each spent over 20-30 million.
Well, Southampton have been close to 30 million, yeah.
Yeah, like even some of the newly promoted teams, Cardiff spent an awful lot of money as well. Like, it's that weird thing. Like,
there's more money in football.
A few years ago, it was like United, maybe Chelsea, even like Arsenal wouldn't have spent as much. But even just those two in the Premiership would have been
like for Rom moving.
Yeah, 20 million.
That was even Ferdinand moving to Man United for 20-something million.
Yeah, years ago. But it's funny when you think about that, because they're long-serving player like Ferdinand, or like in a sense Zidane. You know, you talk about these kind of like, you know, Ferdinand is going to be one of those big characters at Manchester United for the next 20 years. You see him all over the TV, all over every rap album. But, you know, he'll produce them all. But, you know what I mean? This just seems like a strange... Maybe Bale will be there for the next
six, seven years. 23, 24?
Yeah, yeah.
He'll be there for a while.
But even you think of Monaco, are those players going to stay there for the next...
Well, yeah, that's the one. It's like, you know, when Angie came into all this money and Zenit came into all this money, they were signing players who were never going to stay there for very long. I mean, they signed to Sammy Leto on ridiculous... I mean, the wages were ridiculous.
Yeah.
He was never going to be there for that long. He's 32 now, and he's gone.
They brought in Roberto Carlos, who was only there for 6 months or something.
Exactly. Yeah. And even, you know, Zenit just splashed out on those two players, Witzel and Hulk.
Yeah.
They were never going to stay in Russia for that long. They were just using it as getting a bit of money,
using it as a step,
bit of Champions League, and then they'll get noticed by.
Yeah.
I suppose it's like Gary Medel saying he's only in Cardiff to get a move
into bigger Premiership club, or in Europe
to get a move to England.
Good point. Yeah, but we'll leave it there. If you want to say anything, do email in the 12thmanpodcast@hotmail.com, or on the Twitter @12thmanpodcast, or on the Facebook page, just Google 12thmanpodcast. It's interesting though. It's interesting debate. We'll know more come next week or Monday when the transfer.
I'm sure this will be a debate we have again and again and again.
Much later this season,
the next year.
Ah, interesting. Eh? We'll see. Well, maybe we'll all. Maybe this is just a once off. Maybe next year things are kind of going. No, but I mean, with the financial fair play, you know, in place, that teams won't be able to throw that money around. But we'll talk about that next.
It'll go back to Aston Villa buying Willie Groves for £100. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Champions League. Let's move on to that. That's a money spinner, isn't it? And Celtic made it. 3-0 against Shakhtar Karagandy on the night.
I actually, on aggregate, I wish I'd have been there to see your little face smile.
I was
on.
How late? 91st minute, was it?
Yeah. 91st,
97th. Anthony Stokes jinxing between a few defenders. Wonderful skill.
Great, absolutely brilliant.
Stokes, magic, who nearly came off before.
What?
Who nearly had to come off?
He was
quite a shocking tackle.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
I don't even remember his name. He'd just come on.
Yeah.
He made a shove and then an absolute shocker. He should have been sent off for personally.
Terrible tackle. But yeah, luckily he was there. And if he was about 2 yards out, or 2 yards further back, he would have missed.
Don't be so negative if you're qualified.
Chris Commons with a wonderful goal as well.
Great goal.
Was a brilliant goal.
I was saying
right before half time, perfect time.
I was saying to Rio earlier, if You imagine if that was Steven Gerrard, how often that would be played.
Oh, they'd be putting Andy Gray over the top.
Oh, yeah, they'd be.
Are you kidding?
They'd get him back in despite all the trouble just to redub that. No, but really, like, it was absolutely phenomenal. Like, that's a. It was one of those Champions League nights that you. Like, there'll be a DVD of that. Will be a DVD available.
It is one of those things, like, there's always this thing spoken about Parkhead on a European night.
The sound was.
That's one of. That wasn't even full Parkhead.
No,
either.
But the atmosphere was fantastic. Yeah. Like, you could hear it booming. It was great.
Mm. It seemed like a crack. I was out at the time and watching. I wasn't kind of half paying attention to it, but I could not see when they scored because people were jumping up to celebrate. I was like, oh, there you go.
Yeah, I was alone in a pub jumping around on my own. I was trying.
The pub was closed. It's abandoned.
Alone.
I wasn't alone at the pub. I mean, there was no other company because I was out doing some work on a film and I didn't have enough time to get home. So I was sitting there on my own. I was like, right, I'm on my own. I have to be a bit dignified here and like not.
Didn't happen.
All went out the window. You became the pub geezer.
Yeah, cold blood. We couldn't qualify.
Nothing came into my mind except I was just like, just going.
Did
mad.
You get some chance then, going?
What? Yeah, on my own.
Can we kick him out?
At least I wasn't that guy who sits at the back and addresses all the players by their first name and screams at the TV. That's annoying. I didn't scream anything except for when we scored.
I think I may have told you guys, I'm not sure if I said it on the podcast before, that last year the Manchester United Man City game, where like at the end of the year where Man City won, Kompany scored. And I was with my friend, Manchester United fan, watched it in an Irish pub in Germany, and had this absolute buffoon standing beside us who was a Man City fan who got up from his chair and ran at the big screen and started shouting, "Good man, Vincent, you beautiful Vincent," and all this stuff at Vincent Kompany.
He's singing that Don McLean song from Prince of Mangone, Starry Night.
No, he just screaming, and at which point everyone in the pub was getting fed up with him. I got a bit annoyed, I shouted at him to shut up. At which point he told me to sit down, Sir Alex. Obviously thought I was Sir Alex Ferguson, the resemblance.
He just obviously doesn't know anything about football, really. He should be getting that excited if he thinks
I think he was trying to show off that he knew Kompany's first name.
Mm.
And that he knew that Ferguson was a sir.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah.
So. And you were worried that he looked like Brendan Rodgers.
Well, I just look like a gaffer, don't I? That's just the thing.
That's from your dad. That's where you get it.
Yeah. Ah, well, look, sure, look. Celtic are there now, and they're safe. And they're going to get out of the group.
No.
You said this last year, didn't you?
Possibly. I did feel a bit more confident because I saw Benfica and Spartak, and I thought, we'll take them at home.
And Barcelona, we'll take them.
That's the one thing that I'm almost fearful that if we get hammered by Barcelona, then it's just like, it was just a once-off, meh. Nobody cares. Like, it's too soon after we beat them. the nostalgia may be just ripped completely out.
Yeah. That's what I was saying, Drew. I'm really looking forward to watching Celtic in the Champions League this year.
I'm glad they got there.
To see how they cope with this again, because it's, you don't want it to be a once-off and then you get an easy kind of group. You want to see if they can, as a Liverpool fan, I'd love to be back in Europe testing against the big teams like that. It's disappointing when you go out, but you go and sit and watch, even pub, I know much better to go to the game, but you go and watch, Celtic away to Barcelona, and you're excited, even, maybe if they score four in the first 20 minutes, it's kind of demoralising and devastating, but it'll be real interesting to test Lennon's mettle now, to see how he can, really get on in Europe now after, it was his first year last year, wasn't it?
First year in Europe, first year he qualified. Now,
So
what you want to do is you want to go and spend loads of money now, overinflated transfer fees.
The one thing that I'm worried about is the fact that we've lost the two players that played the best against Barcelona.
Yeah,
Wanyama was just unreal, and I don't think we have someone in the squad at the moment who can do the job that he did.
No, that's
in
true.
Those games,
I don't think you can get that kind of player.
Calvin Wilson, who I think is just as big a loss, and nobody mentions.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do with him because Effie Ambrose is muck.
He's been poor. He even had a moment in the Shakhtar Karagandy game actually where he kind of just dawdled on the ball a little. And I was like, this is going to be a goal, and everyone's going to blame him, and well, it didn't happen.
And he's going to start crying, and I'm going to laugh.
It actually reminded me a little bit of a Jimmy Traore moment. I was like, he's going to fall. He's going to fall.
He's going to fall. He's going to score an own goal.
He's going to hold his face, pretend he's injured.
Right, move on. Arsenal beat Fenerbahce 2-0. Aaron Ramsey got two goals. Pretty straightforward.
Second one was very, very nice.
Yeah. He scored a lovely goal, I think, last year in the Champions League, where he kind of opened his foot up and curled the ball around, but that was quite a nice goal, yes.
Yeah.
On the move, and just kind of tapped
Anyone die after he scored this time? Like, that used to be the thing. Remember, it was Gaddafi and Bin Laden?
The Pope.
When he scored the two goals later that day, they were both killed. So I wonder who he...
Look, leave me out of this, right?
Any idea?
No.
Any idea who died?
No one's died. Move on.
Check the obituaries. Yeah,
it's pretty straightforward.
Straightforward win. Poor quality game, I have to say.
Yeah, Bruno Alves kicked everybody.
Yeah, he's a terrified man. And he was bleeding. Did you see him bleeding? Oh, that was scary. Just looking at it may have even been last week, actually. I don't think it was this week. I think it was the first leg. But I didn't even get a chance to say. He was bleeding, and he just like looked up like this Rambo monster. He's just terrifying.
He does have a Rambo look about him.
Yeah.
Love Rambo monster.
It was like a cross between Rambo and Predator. That's what it was.
Rambo versus Predator. That'd be good.
Get it. Make it. You. Do it. Yeah, everybody's been banging on about Aaron Ramsey looking better.
He's looking better from total awfulness. Merson talked last week about Sky about how it's not fair that he gets criticised and Wilshere and Cazorla don't, and my counter argument to that is they're not playing as poorly as he is.
Yeah,
and
why would you criticize players who are playing well?
Yeah. Rue was making
just
the point as well.
For fairness' sake,
I can make the argument that Jack Wilshere gets way more credit than he deserves, which I think he does.
Yeah, possibly.
He doesn't play a lot. He hasn't played that many senior games for the club.
No,
honestly.
But he hasn't played as badly as Ramsey has.
No, he does play well when he plays, but he gets a lot of praise for not doing a lot, almost.
Rue
may well be a world-class player, but give him time.
Rue was making an interesting point earlier about flair players, similar to Cazorla, who don't get maybe the same stick for drifting out of games the way Ramsey does. But I think that always happens when you know it's a flair player.
Yeah, you know? It's not even just the drifting out. Even if they do something poor, it's kind of just gone, Sandy Couture, he's a great player.
Yeah, I think it's a bit different, though.
I always noticed it with David Silva, because I thought David Silva was terrible at times last season. And people didn't mention it.
But there is a difference, though. I mean, you look at Tarapt, and he did get criticism. He's the exact kind of flair player where you're like, lazy and is kind of disruptive. And I think when it's someone like Cazorla, who is like not exactly disruptive.
Wait, he's not disruptive at all.
No. But you know his job in the team is a flair type player.
No, I think the point that I'm making is like it's when you know that these players are really capable of brilliant things, like Silva and Cazorla, and they don't do it for couple of weeks, and people are just like, he's a great player though.
Yeah, Silva, he's almost a different case, I think. He was brilliant in his first season. He seemed to have a terrible season altogether last season. And whether that's his own fault, or he's been played out of position, or he hasn't been given the right treatment by Mancini, we'll find out in time. But he might well be shunted out of that team and go back to Spain, because they brought in wingers, and he wasn't very good last season,
And they're using wingers as well.
Yeah, for
four,
once.
4-4-2. Making a comeback, lads.
It didn't work out too well from Domingo.
Are you happy enough with Arsenal's group?
No, I think it's a horrible group. I don't think we're going to get out of it. Dortmund, Napoli and Marseille. Ooh, no. Might be, you'd expect to beat Marseille in both legs. But Dortmund away? Dortmund at home? I know we had Dortmund a couple of years ago, but this one Dortmund were crap in the Champions League.
Did Man City have that exact same group? No, it wasn't Marseille, was it? They had Napoli and Dortmund, aren't
they? Yeah, they did, yeah. Did they have them the same year? I'd like to think they did.
I don't know.
Was it Bayern
Munich? No, they had Dortmund.
They did Dortmund and Napoli, yeah.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Or was it not Napoli and Bayern?
I don't know. They definitely had one of them at some stage in the Champions League.
Yeah. They've definitely played Dortmund, Bayern.
Yeah. They were definitely in the Champions League.
They were in the Champions League, not very good.
So what are you looking at? First place Arsenal? Flamini to Boston midfield?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Flamini and Diaby when he comes back. New signing.
Podolski's out for...
New signing midway through the season, that's what you want. Yeah, new signings all around. Get injury repairs now before the end of the transfer window, so they're all like new signings.
Yeah, exactly.
The mid-season boost.
I generally fear that Arsenal won't get out. I genuinely fear that they won't get out of the group.
Not even into Europa League?
I mean, but that's not class as getting out
of the group. No, but do you feel
I think Arsenal capable of finishing second, but I mean... Dortmund are going to annihilate us the way we play. Napoli, it's a bit hit and miss, but they do have good players.
Well, we're yet to see under... I imagine they're going to be a bit...
Benitez. It's Rafa Benitez in the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they actually have a player who's... like, they've replaced Cavani with a player we wanted, a proper goal scorer.
And a goalkeeper you wanted as well, in Pepe Reina.
Yeah, well, I wasn't the biggest fan of Pepe Reina.
No, but I mean, Arsenal have wanted him. But
yeah, which is a strange one. Yeah. I never understood that one. Anyway, just moving on. Schalke beat Pauk, so no Liam Lawrence in the Champions League.
Oh yeah, Jesus.
If Celtic had qualified, I don't think any Irish players would have been. Baron, maybe United would have registered one or two, but that unlikely. That would have been it. No, there wouldn't have been any Irish players.
Yeah,
I mean, there's none at Chelsea and there's none at City. And there's none at Arsenal.
Liam Brady's still knocking around as Arsenal's youth coach.
Yeah, he doesn't count.
We'll do that all English thing of like finding out that like a linesman is Irish and be like, oh, look at him. Great stuff there. Yeah, what a call.
But Schalke were terrible in the first leg and they managed to come back and kind of weasel their way into the Champions League again.
Mental in general.
Yeah.
Just defensively, they're just absolutely all over the place.
They were getting criticised a lot.
Rui was telling me this thing. I haven't looked it up now, yeah, but you read
it
somewhere.
I heard it somewhere that the board have implemented this thing where every time they concede a goal from a set piece, they're fined. The players are fined for conceding goals.
Schalke players, isn't it?
Yeah. For conceding goals from free kicks.
Can't do that. That's outrageous.
It's mental. And also, it's not working because they've conceded about 10 this season so far.
That's just... You can't do that. That's like, you know, imagine working in an office. Every time that pen runs out, it's coming out of your paycheck. That's not fair.
Yeah, it's a stranger. It's a stranger that... like,
the board have implemented it.
Said... no. Yeah. Can we not do that?
Yeah.
How about to make us better players? Can you just
train us?
Can we work on not conceding goals?
No, because then if they concede a set piece in training, it comes out of their wages.
Ah, that's why.
So they're all terrified.
That's why. Yeah. Right, that makes sense. It's every single one.
We were talking about...
two of them goals that Pauk scored were from set pieces.
Yeah.
Mm.
Double fine.
What a great game in the second half, though. I mean, there was... red card and like three goals.
Players falling over. Defensive shitness.
It was a very exciting game though to watch in the second half. And the quality was actually better than Arsenal Fenerbahce.
Ah, the quality was terrible.
No, not in the second half. Genuinely turned over from the... I remember at one stage turned over the match having... it was just before Drexler set up the second...
the third goal.
The third goal, yeah, you're right. At the end. And... I turned over just from that to Gibbs. It wasn't Gibbs. It could have been Sagna. Attempting the pass, failing, and then booting it straight up in the air. And I was like, right, no, I'm not even going to check the score. I'll check the score.
Classic Arsenal.
Yeah.
A nice slick pass.
Yeah. Can't get it to man.
I'm using it as an example.
For comedic effect.
I thought the quality-wise, it was really poor. There were a few people who were very good. I think Miroslav Stock had a very good game for Pauk.
But
you could tell that there were players there that were just so much better.
Yeah,
Celtic should buy Stock.
Should buy Stock in Celtic.
Go on, do it now. You
tell me, is a Stock salesman now? Come here, sell the Celtic stock.
Right, Champions League, lads. We have all that to look forward to.
We'll touch on Chelsea and Xavi's group briefly before we emigrate. I think it might be half an idea.
Talk about it. Go on,
man. You have 30 seconds.
Jose Mourinho, lads, in the Champions League. What'll he do?
He won't win it.
Grant, good job.
He's won it twice already. Twice?
Yeah. Well, is Eto'o going to be able to play? Maybe cup tied?
No.
Andrew went in it.
Yeah. He's out to play. He's going to play loads of games, score loads of goals. I wonder what that means. Just that Eto'o signing means for... well, I'm going to say Demba Ba.
Yeah, Newcastle have apparently, you know, rumour has it, attempted to loan him, but Chelsea want a permanent deal. I don't think that'd be too bad for Newcastle. They badly need a striker. You'd accept
him. Do they badly need a striker? They got Cissé and Remy. Like, I mean, they only play one striker most of the time.
Yeah, they badly need a striker. Score.
Yeah. They need a centre back way more than they need a striker.
That's true, yeah. Actually. But
and also,
actually, they look weak all over. Yeah. But this is Champions League time.
Yeah. This is well, actually, we're going to be up to the Premiership now.
You know what I mean? So, Newcastle, lads.
Well, we talked about Chelsea, actually, just mentioned them. They might well go on and do something Champions League, but they play Man United on Monday. That was a terrible, terrible, terrible match. Yeah, I didn't do the running order this week. You did it. Declan Martin did it. And what he has written down the notes is boring and actually called it a shit dive.
Yeah. I did. And actually, took me a lot of strength because just before you got here, I remembered.
Because the pen was pretty heavy.
Yeah. No, I just remembered. I nearly forgot to put Cardiff Man City in the running order, which is coming up. And I went, why have I got this in after Man United Chelsea? Because that's how little I want to talk about United Chelsea. It was terrible.
Yeah, I honestly don't think there's anything to talk about here. It's top of the running order just because it's that match. Big,
yeah.
Neither match manager wanted to lose that match. Neither manager lost that
match.
Yeah.
Mourinho
pretended a little that they wanted to counterattack with no strikers.
Why are you not using strikers?
Yeah. The interesting thing I think is there's still a debate going on about whether he wants Mata, which is ridiculous. It's like, what does he want a good player? Yes, he does.
Mm. Mata's dad apparently was at the Arsenal Fenerbahce match.
No reason?
They'd be signing for Fenerbahce.
Well, they pretty much was, oh, he's got the Arsenal. I was like, he could be one of Fenerbahce.
Yeah, no, I don't believe any of that. The point I'm making though is, I'd have probably, if you're looking for a player that could have played where Shirley was playing, because Shirley just ran around like a mad joke out there. Like a mad lad on yokes. But Mata could have, Mata I think could have played that role. I don't think he's played that much for Spain in that role. It's more often Silva, that, you know, when they didn't play with a striker a lot of the time. But I'm sure he's come in there once or twice. He's probably trained to be that, like, only attacking midfielder, not actual striker with Spain.
Shirley has played as a second striker the odd time, so...
He's only starting in the Premier League.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that he was the one he chose, though.
I think...
Like, he's quite mobile, gets around the pitch.
But that's probably Mourinho's point, is they wanted United to come out. And United did, in a way, because they started with three strikers. It's like, it's not... Moyes didn't go into
but they were kind of...
I know Rooney played a lot
Rooney
deeper.
Played left back.
Yeah. He played an awful lot deeper, but... look, you know, we can talk about Rooney and all this stuff.
People have talked about it to death. He was
there really isn't much else we can mention for this match. That,
I think one of the things I was pretty surprised by and impressed by was Oscar. He was playing very defensively. Like, he was obviously there to mind Carrick. He did a very good job at it. You just don't think that he would be capable of like all that tracking and... It was quite disciplined for most of the game.
In fairness, Carrick's not a guy who's
moves
got much of an attacking or who moves around.
But I mean, he dictates the play that United started.
I think
that's probably why we saw Rooney so much so deep, because they didn't have Carrick to do that.
Mm. I think Chelsea nullified the United threat by doing stuff like that. But I really think United were there for the taking. I think Mourinho...
Yeah, they could. If they had tried to go for it.
He's a top class manager.
They have some of the best attacking midfielders in the league. And, like, as we mentioned, Carrick and Cleverley were the two centre midfielders it would have been up against. Like, you can get by them pretty damn easily. And when they did have a chance, fucking Ashley Cole just decided to fall over. Oh, it's the most frustrating.
Well, as I said, he did a shit job.
It was the most frustrating. I don't think we've mentioned it enough because it was just the worst thing I've ever seen. It was so annoying.
In the Arsenal Fenerbahce match, there was one of the Fenerbahce players dived. It was a terrible dive. He came out, Chesney came by to get the ball. Nowhere near, man. Your man jumped to the ground. I can't think of his name.
Dirk Cowd. He goes there.
Emiliano, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Emenike, that's the one. Yeah. He dived terrible. And, we kind of laughed it off. There's a book. I was like, no, don't laugh that off. It was terrible. Cardiff Man City. That's where the real action was.
Yeah.
I was just going to quickly comment on Jeff Shreve's and David Moyes interaction. I don't know if you saw that after Man United game where he, reports that you're in for bail and Moyes kind of.
Hinted
that, we're always in for the biggest and best players, and 5 minutes later in a press conference said, there's no bid. Like, why did you pretend?
He also said that.
Big it up to his mate, Jeff Shreve.
Jeff, we're for all the big lads. I just know we have a bit for bail. We don't have that kind of money lying around.
I was just messing with that arsehole, Shreves.
Shreves, you getting the scoop and then, that's
little Shreves, he was so excited as well. He was like, can you tell me any more? No.
They never tell them. I was like, oh, you're going to bid for any players? Like,
good quality journalism out of Jeff Shreves, that's what I'll say. Asking the follow-up questions that need to be asked. can you please give me more? Please, please, give me money. Tell me.
As opposed to being subtle about it, just ask him for exactly,
did you do it?
Exactly what he wants. It's grand. I can imagine him trying to pick up a girl or something. Not,
hello,
no,
I'm Sky Sports' Jeff Shreeves. Want to sit on my lap?
You won't be playing the Champions League final. Yeah.
Going up to Ivanovic just misses. Yeah, you're me. He wasn't in the Champions League final. Sit on my lap there.
If only he was Andy Gray and Richard Keys were still there.
Oh jeez. Well, in fairness, he's not.
We have to stop mentioning them people.
We won't lump Shreeves in with the womanizer. We'll just lump him in with arse baskets.
Okay. Cardiff 3, Man City 2. Wonderful, Cracker. Wonderful result for Cardiff.
I nearly wasn't going to watch it. I was so glad I did after.
It's a bit weird, kind of end to end, you know. Cardiff attacked and Man City attacked and Cardiff attacked and Man City attacked. Cardiff did a great job closing the space between the forwards or the defenders and the midfielders to make sure that kind of Chelsea's Man City's attack midfielders or, you know, Aguero's have had nowhere to go, basically.
Yeah.
They were just like, oh, there's no space for us to work with. Instead of leaving all these massive gaps like other teams do. Against them.
It was funny, it showed the fascinating difference in, you know, we always talked about, for example, Stoke Rose was a great example of a team who could get hammered away, and then you come to the Britannia and there was this kind of thing about it. And sometimes I think people read too much into that. But I mean, Cardiff didn't show up at all. Like, didn't show any of the kind of potential that was in this game against West Ham.
Yeah.
And really turned it, like, not just, you know, they didn't nick a little victory. They really got stuck in, like, they were full of beans.
Beans, yeah.
Speaking of Stoke, check it out.
But really, like, I was absolutely delighted for them. And the noise up there. We said it last week that, you know, traveling up to Wales,
yeah,
going to be a bit of a difficult journey
up
for
to
someone.
Wales from Manchester. Yeah, that's good geography.
Look, this isn't a geography lesson, all right? Up, down, left, right, whatever you want to say. I'm not going
to
criticise.
All the left over there towards Wales.
It's also worth pointing out the joke that was going around Twitter that Fraser Campbell scored past Joe Hart with his head and his shoulder. Head and shoulders. Joe Hart's ad. Worth a little mention.
Joe Hart was awful for that second goal.
He was.
He came out and... What was he doing? He was getting ran out of
focused too much on shoving whoever it was that was in front of him.
What was it? Medell? Did I say
it? No, I knew it was at QPR. What am I talking about? It may have been Medell.
I don't know who it was.
I'm not sure who it was.
He was too focused on that and then just...
Oh, it might be Gunnarsson, actually. I think Gunnarsson was standing on the line kind of looking at him. And it seems to be, he was... I don't get why keepers do that. Just get the ball. And, like, he came out, jumped, and just fell over.
There was a thing in the Celtic match yesterday when the Shakhtar keeper came out. And I was like, oh, well, that's that chance gone. He's just going to catch it.
Oh, he just slapped it up in the air.
Away, and we got the ball back.
But just to
I call bungs.
That's gonna be a t-shirt eventually.
I think it's a bit suspicious that we had to score three goals and then we scored third goal in the last minute.
So you want an investigation into Celtic?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I want Ireland to be the 33rd team in the Champions League.
Lads, look, I promised the listeners some Joe Hart bashing, which I know you the two of you in particular. I'm not a big fan of Joe Hart, but I know the two of you are quite persistent that he makes these mistakes a lot.
I think we should
bash him a little for that because he cost
it was an uncharacteristic mistake to say. It's uncharacteristic. He makes about six a season this season. And we said last year Forrester could be pushing for an England call up and Roy Hodgson said after the last England game that, well, Joe Hart he's going to get his game, but we will look at other options.
I will criticise Roy Hodgson's credibility after he said the United Chelsea game was his match of the season so far.
Yeah, strange man.
Yeah.
that's on top of that.
But just to stick with criticising Joe Hart.
Yeah.
It is something you guys have long said that he's not good at, the coming off his line.
Yeah.
You know, good shot stopper.
Yeah.
Not good, not comfortable at all coming off his line.
Yeah. No. It's the same thing with, you know, I think we mentioned this before, Shea Given was never any good at coming off his line. So he just didn't.
Yeah, he stayed.
He just stayed on his line and said, look, I'm not going to come off the line, you guys deal with it if it comes in.
But he was always a bit short, technically, or apparently for the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
He was only 6 foot, wasn't he? Was it only just 6 foot, I think?
Yeah,
I think Joe Hart's about 6'4".
Yeah,
he's tall enough. So you'd think a player like Joe Hart would come out and be able to do it better, or even just train for this kind of stuff, but he's made a lot of stuff. I think it's a concentration issue that he has. Like last year in the Champions League, the one Ronaldo shot, you know, you can kind of half blame him for that, and you know, he might be able to say, well, that was just reaction, that was one straight at him. Like, it was hard, he didn't get his hand down, he made him kind of almost pulled away from me, you could say. But there was, you know, the one against Dynamo Kiev 2 years ago or something like that, was it? Or maybe 3 years ago in the Europa League, he made a complete mess, he went to kick it. And there's a few others just over
yeah,
time. You just kind of go...
You know, when it comes to, like, when it comes to a mistake, you go, you know, like, everyone's prone to the odd slip up here and there, but when it comes to something like that's a weakness in his game.
Yeah,
that's something that it's not a mistake there. That's a weakness in his game that's been obvious for a while now, and it's something that'll definitely cause trouble for Man City and England.
I think it is a concentration issue though, because it's kind of almost it's a multitude of different kind of mistakes he makes. Like he one week he'll come off and he'll catch a few balls and be grand. You're probably not his main strength. You know, Dave James is never good at that. He used to miss corners all the time in players who score. But he got a lot better when he was older. Like he was a good shot stopper, as we said. But
going forward as well.
Yeah, going forward. Yeah.
Oh, he lost
for those 10 minutes.
Should have been sent off.
Yeah, because of 8 injuries.
That's it. Send
Joe Hart up front.
No, it's just send David James up front, kick a few people, injure them. Well, you know, they have a history of putting goalies up front, Man City, so yeah. Maybe. You know, it could be his true calling in life. Joe Hart is a centre forward, playing off Aguero. I can see that happen. But it was, yeah, it was a great match, and Cardiff were a little bit lucky in the end to get the win, because, you know, Joe Hart falling over, it's not probably not going to happen every week. Might happen every third week or something like that.
Yeah, they pressed well though. I mean, it was 2-1.
And they didn't see it very late on, which they were lucky to have got the
draw. But it was 2-1, and then they made it 3-1. So, like, it wasn't...
It wasn't such a smash and grab.
At that point, that's what I was trying to say. It's not really your classic smash and grab.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like your classic smash and grab.
They did actually play nice football.
Yeah, that's the thing. But it was, the possession was like 77 Man City and 23
they
Cardiff
were,
at the point when they scored.
Madness.
Something like they had 30% possession.
Yeah, it was when, Campbell scored his second first goal.
Overall in the game,
they had 30%. Zabaleta was awful. Fall 3 goals.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not second.
Himself and Joe Hart.
Yeah.
They managed to mess it up.
Didn't follow Campbell for the first goal across. I know Campbell had scored, Gunnarsson scored, but he didn't follow him across when making his run, and he didn't follow him for the corner.
For the third goal,
yeah.
It was awful.
It was particularly a fault from Turco, which is. You know, I think Zabaleta is quite a good player. He had a really good season last year. He always tries his best. Like, he always just gets the head down, works really hard kind of player.
Now that we've started, because we would have maybe called him underrated a year or two back, but now that we've started rating him, he's going to start playing poorly in Chelsea.
Yeah. Maybe he never was good. Maybe it's all just a ruse.
Tell you who is good, though. Fraser Campbell getting Sky Sports Levy in for an England call-up for him. They were like, Ricky Lambert got called up, but not Fraser Campbell. I was like, Ricky Lambert had a year in the Premier League last year where he
scored a lot of goals.
Pretty well.
Interesting. And there are, you know, you've got a few other forwards in there, like Rooney's obviously going to get paid, but Sturridge is playing quite well.
And Sturridge did get called up as well. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
It was stupid. Absolutely. Martin
Sterling got called up, which is strange.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that one.
Strange.
But today, look, what can you do? Arsenal beat Fulham 3-1. Not going to dwell on this one too much, but crisis over at Arsenal then, into the Champions League, safely now. 3-1 win, don't need to sign anybody.
Yeah. Well, you got Flamini. I mean, let's talk about that for a minute or two. It's a bit of a.
Underwhelming,
I mean, it's underwhelming, and it's also maybe a little bit of a mark where they are that they're. I mean,
signing players on a free, ex players on a free.
Saul Campbell.
Think
back to when they get desperate, they do this.
Saul Campbell, Jens Lehmann,
Thierry
Henry.
Look at that. I mean,
Jens Lehmann played for us in the Premiership at like 40 against Blackpool. It was ridiculous.
But that's my. I mean, this is.
It does happen.
It's becoming a thing.
Flamini might be a little bit different than the fact that he's not 34.
No, but they're short term answers. I mean, you wouldn't expect Flamini to be there for 3 or 4 years now.
Well. He could be. Yeah. I mean, he was quite good before he left. He left on,
and then he didn't really play.
Yeah, well. Then he
left on a free and went to AC. But there's no, but you can't say that he's going to be a bad sign on a free.
I don't think he's going to be a bad sign.
No, but I don't mean he's the. I do understand he's not the kind of player that we. Well, we do. It's good.
Actually,
as I said, just buy players for the sake of it. Almost.
Yeah.
Get him in, Grant. Keep him there for years.
Absolutely. I'm actually on board with this sign. I think
you need other players.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was. It was like when Arsenal signed Podolski. And it was kind of done, you know, a little bit towards the end. It was done before the transfer window opened, like the deal had been agreed to buy him 2 years ago. And I remember talking to people, I was like, it's a good signing, but if he's replacing Van Persie, I don't want him. You know what I mean? I don't think he's the kind of player. But as a supplement to Van Persie or going to buy Podolski and somebody, that's not bad. But if that's the marquee sign, you're like, great.
Tell you what, you're talking about signing next class, get Carlos Vela back. Got
two
excellent goals for Sociedad against Leon there.
He was so quick. Oh, brilliant. actually looking forward to seeing him in the Champions League.
Be great. But yeah, on the whole Arsenal thing, you know, missing Podolski now.
Yeah, he did score and we will miss him.
The two goals. He's a bit of a one trick pony, I find sometimes, Podolski. But that's not. Yeah, but it's not to not to criticise him in that it's unbelievably successful for him when he does it. He's probably like one of those unique players that's like, I know that you're going to do this at some stage in the game, so all I have to do is try and stop you. But you can't.
Arsene Robben does it all the time.
Yeah.
Runs up the right, cuts in his left, shoots, scores.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think he's every time.
I think he's got a little bit more to his game.
Yeah, I think he's adapted a bit more.
Yeah, but I honestly don't mean that as an insult to Podolski. I think he's a good player, but just sometimes he... If you can stop him doing that, which most of the time you can't, he's going to be quiet for the whole game. But now he's gone now. So
moving on to Liverpool. That's a bit of, we didn't talk about Liverpool last week. It's a pretty good start. Two wins out of two in the league.
Yeah, two similar two kind of games. I think in the three games we've had so far, we're just bound to do exactly what we did before, which is hit the woodwork throughout the air.
Well, wait, Lasorda gets back, he'd be hitting even more.
Yeah, he'd be breaking bones with his teeth and stuff.
Apparently is the first match he'd be due to play back is that
Man United and
League Cup tie. Yeah,
League Cup tie.
Interesting. If he's still there, which we assume he will be at this stage.
Yeah. Well, Liam Brady doesn't bloody think so, but he can feck off.
What does Liam Brady think?
Liam Brady
said,
once Bale signs for Real Madrid, it'll cause a domino effect that, you know, you might see Özil and Di Maria going to Ars, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the Rooney deal isn't over and the Suarez deal isn't over. Coming from a man who's not involved in the transfers at all.
But also you said that he mentioned the Suarez deal to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. Like, once they've just spent $100 million, they're going to spend another 50.
Well, maybe he's also indicating to Arsenal. But yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
We'll see how it goes.
But on the Liverpool-Villa game, I mean, another Sturridge goal. Relative, not solid defensive performance from us, but we got through it somehow.
Yeah.
There was a point in the game... Again, I have to...
It's only one shot on target, was it, for Liverpool?
Yeah.
Something like that. That's a strange
one. We were...
And Aston Villa had a lot of possession.
Yeah. I mean, the second half was complete. The first half is the kind of way I expect to see us perform, which is we passed very well. We dominated on possession. We didn't create enough because we still don't have enough creative players for my liking. But, you know, we did our bit. Aspas didn't look totally in the game. He looked like he's still adjusting. A Sturridge scored from wonderful bit of work.
Yeah, great.
Don't know how that went in.
I'm actually very critical of the thing, Luna on the line. He doesn't do anything to try to stop it going in, and he's not that far away from the ball.
Yeah, but it was just, I don't think anyone was expecting him to
actually be able to get the ball over.
It was a left foot kind of toe boggy looking thing, but it was like, that's the best toe bog I've ever seen, except for Ronaldinho.
Ronaldinho against Chelsea.
But
Ronaldo
was quite drops the shoulder, bang. In the second half, we honestly could not hold on to the ball. There was one stage, just, this is something we usually do. We like to criticize commentators for a very, very poor comment. And Alan Smith of Sky Sports, very guilty of this. He said that it was a good challenge. I think it was Agger and Guzan smashed together, like a good
smashed it.
Again, he's in there. And the two of them getting up for it, you know, Agger looking at the ball, cross coming in. And Alan Smith called it a good British challenge from an American and a Dane.
An English goal.
Yeah. So that was something else from Alan Smith.
How many fit players do Liverpool have at the moment? Oh, they all seem to get injured now.
We'll talk about the cup time.
Four-two against Notts County.
Yeah.
Two all.
We lost Joe Allen.
4-2 after time.
Joe Allen, Colatore,
and
Sissoko.
So Ali Sissoko is just signed. So
you forget he signed.
But he came on against Villa and looked
Torre looks like he would be out for a few weeks, which is the biggest loss, I think. Joe Allen's replaced was a few midfielders there, but centre backs are a bit thin on the ground. One of them might be sold.
Yeah, I know. Well, we can't sell him now, obviously.
I don't even mention, but Coates is out for a long period of
time. Yeah, for most of the season.
Yeah.
I think that puts to bed any rumours that we would sell Skirtle.
Jamie
Carrigan come out of retirement, lads. It's gonna happen.
You're heading down a dangerous Saul Campbell-esque route there.
Oh, Saul Campbell. He's available, isn't he? I just said to Rue earlier, Crystal Palace are bidding for Gallas, and I was like, that's the exact player we'll end up with. Bloody signing.
Celtic need Gallas.
Yeah, no, we don't.
And Saul Campbell at centre-back.
Well, Arsenal need Gallas. He's a former Arsenal player.
Just start signing all these players.
Can't wait till Bergkamp comes back.
But yeah, I don't know.
Overmars, he's looking well. Seek him on the wing. He'll fit in for Podolski.
You have to retire because of the injuries.
Yeah, but still.
He's looking well, though.
Just on the cup tie, one of those frustrating ones as well, where we're thin squad, start of the season, and we played all that extra time the week before we have to play Manchester United. Very frustrating stuff.
Interesting game this weekend. It's an Ireland derby as well this weekend.
Ford Super Sunday.
How super is it going to be?
Ford Super, that's how many.
Judge the level of superness
by car manufacturers. Tony is super
good. It was pretty Volvo.
Very tall.
But on the game, again, nice to see Sturridge popping up scoring. Mignolet still not looking too convincing. I think this.
I actually think Mignolet's look goodness.
His kicking is atrocious. If you saw the whole Aston Villa game. Oh my god.
He was a bit flappy in the Stoke one at the start, but he made some wonderful saves. He made a really good save against Pateke.
Again, it's
he's a good shot stopper.
And it worries me because, honestly, like the we talked about Skirtle might have to go because he doesn't have the feet that Rodgers might want. Mignolet couldn't kick. Every ball he got back, and that was the problem. We kept giving him the ball back because we weren't able to cope with it out.
Yeah, but maybe he should keep a shot.
He must have kicked it out the same. He actually kicked it at Lambert 3 times. And like, it was ridiculous.
Maybe just wanted to hit him.
Yeah.
If only it was Ricky Lambert, he'd put my foot in.
There you go.
Would have worked out well.
But
it didn't.
Nice to see us go through in one of the trophies that we'll hopefully win this year.
Playing Man United, next round at Old Trafford.
Ah, yeah, but we win cup ties. That's what we do. We win cup ties, we lose in the league, we come seventh.
Didn't you lose to Macclesfield in the FA Cup?
Oldham
in the FA Cup last year?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Good point. Good point well made. And Norwich beat Bury 6-3.
Cracker.
Hernandez there. Along from Galatasaray.
That scored twice?
Yeah. Played well as well.
It can't cut him out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I suppose they could do it another forward because they've sold Holt and they have Van Mulswinkel in. I think Luciano Becchio is the only other forward I can think of there.
Oh, Gary Hooper.
Okay, yeah, completely forgot. He's there, yeah, actually.
Yeah, they're all right up front. They're not like...
They have a pretty good squad in Norwich.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting to see what they do this season.
It was great hearing that. You always love the managers talking after a game like that, the 6-3, where they give the old response of, yeah, it was a good one for the fans to watch, but not for the manager. It was like, oh, come on, you loved it a bit. 9 goals. When's the last time Norwich scored 6 goals? Hilton must... I know he's probably a bit angry about the 3 goals, but that's what they're going to be like this year, essentially.
I love that.
I think Norwich were quite good... defensively after they started last season really poorly. I think it was after one of the international breaks because not a lot of players have been playing internationally. He kept them there for the week and said we're going to work on the defence, and they were quite good after that. And I'm actually quite interested to see what they do this season. Same with Southampton, West Ham.
Top half.
I think that'd be very ambitious, but if they can get there, why not?
Well, read my predictions at the end of the year and see how we get on.
Declan Rantra. It's in your chest. Yovo Berman, just touching this, that it all got a bit weird.
Yeah. It all got a bit weird.
It was an unsporting goal, as you've written down?
Yeah, I've written down unsporting because it was basically ball went out for a throw-in after a Birmingham player got injured. So I think Birmingham put the ball out. At which point, Yovo threw the ball in, lobbed their goalkeeper.
Scored.
And forced the game into extra time.
Didn't let Birmingham score from the kickoff, as most teams do.
But that's because it wasn't an accident. That wasn't like they tried to give it back to the keeper. That was a shot. They genuinely wanted to score that. So there was, argy bargy bit of fighting about that. Went in at full time for extra time. Forced extra time, at which point I think Yeovil scored and then let Birmingham score after. Basically,
So they were treated.
So they waited till they were comfortable.
They were 3-2 up at that stage.
They let them score to get them, then went
to penalties.
Yeah, and after it was Gary Johnson, the Oval manager, said he was, I'm humble enough, after to let them do something like that, and I don't want to make enemies out here. And you're thinking, the Oval fans won't be happy with what you've done. You may have made a lot of enemies there. Lee Clark wouldn't comment on it, but he was one of those... Have you ever angered someone to the point where they don't talk to you, but you know there's fire inside of them? That's what Lee Clark was like. He just wouldn't say anything. He was like, what did you think of it all, Lee? No comment. I was like, oh, get out of there.
Quick.
Pull your journalist back.
They
won 3-2 on penalties anyway, Birmingham.
Yeah. Well,
so he wasn't that irate.
He's happy that they went through. Newcastle beat Morecambe 2-0 as well. Which is good for Newcastle. They might go somewhere now. They might win it, or they might just sack Pardew. We'll see how it goes.
Do you think he'll leave or get sacked first?
Well, I don't think they'll sack him because he's on that massive contract.
Yeah, true.
That's what I'm saying, they just wait the 6 years and let him see out the contract and then...
Or move him into another position in, within the club. You could be director of...
Doors?
Sports?
No, I'm joking here. Yeah.
You could be director of doors.
You could be Jokinir's assistant director of doors. Who do you think... Here's the interesting question. Who do you think would go first? Ashley, Kinnear or Pardew? Or in what order?
No, I think Pardew's probably... They're trying to... It almost seems like they're trying to force Pardew out of the club. Mm-hmm. I don't think Ashley...
will ever leave.
Well, unless he sells. You know, he is the chair, but he owns the club.
He'll be buried into the stadium. Oh, like, just for his remains to be...
Stuffed and mounted in the boardroom.
Stuffed and mounted.
That's a lot of...
Put set of midfield with Avery Liabi.
That's a lot of stuffing to fill by Ashley.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I may be joking. He'll just leave.
Eventually, when
just when Newcastle looked like
you can open any door, including the exit,
just when they were looking stable.
Do you think Ashley will outlast the two of them?
Well, he's. I mean,
I think he probably will. He'll never go away.
He's reacted to the criticism and like he's taken all the.
He owns the club, don't he?
Like, yeah. I know, but they were trying to force him out a year or two. I've got my Ashley Out t-shirt stayed, upstairs. I'll be willing to chuck it on and get back to Newcastle.
Yeah, he's seen it all before. Yeah. He'd be used to it at this stage.
Get Kevin Keegan in this chairman.
Yeah. I think what they should do is, when he eventually leaves or passes away, like Ashley, they can erect a statue of him doing the full Monty. Just inside the grounds. You know, so... You know, it won't
have to be a series of statues, though, will it?
It won't exactly be a tribute to him. It'll be more of an insult to say, you little fat mess.
It'll be in the away dressing room, just to scare the crap out of him before he goes to the pitch.
That's a brilliant idea. Just the away dressing room showers. Just one of the shower has him in it.
Him showering like that.
Interesting, right? Just going to touch on the Spanish Cup, Spanish Super Cup, whatever it's called.
Wasn't very super, to be honest.
Yeah, Barcelona win.
It's an away goal win. That's terrible. There shouldn't be two legs in a Super Cup game.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
I don't. Never thought about it. Like that. Yeah, it's pointless.
We got the actual. We got the European Super Cup this Friday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Chelsea Bayern Munich. Jose and Pep. Ooh, in a pointless match. Nobody's gonna be watching.
Someone's gonna get poked in the eye.
That guy that always hangs around Barcelona with the mustache, he could poke the other. He'll be there. You know he'll be there.
But yeah.
Not
Spanish Super Cup was... Atletico really put up a good fight.
Yeah, and they do look like a proper... Yeah. Like, they were good last season, but they look like they were relying Simeone's on the Fratello. But this season they look like a real team.
Yeah, Simeone's doing a good job there. Costa was dirty in that game. He was. He made a few guts.
He gets a lot of bookings.
Actually, in general, Atletico were very dirty in that game. They... literally kicked the hell out of Messi. And as they did in the game before, I put up a video on our Facebook, Travelman Podcast on Facebook, and it's on the Twitter as well, actually, of Godin pointing to one of his defenders, Godin, Atletico's Godin, in the last leg, pointing to tackle Messi's injured leg, which is, you can see, and actually it slows down, the slow motion commentary is very funny if you like that kind of thing.
Good. That's I like that.
But all in all, it seemed to... Alright game. Barca really were poor, I felt.
Yeah, and, there wasn't much cutting edge there at all.
No, but that was also because Messi was getting kicked every time he moved.
Yeah, it seemed to work on him, though, because he missed a penalty.
Yeah, eventually they lost their discipline, didn't they, Atletico?
Yeah.
It's what it came down to. Luis Felipe sent off 10 minutes before the end for a relatively harsh elbow on Dani Alves, who... He had a fun time, Dani Alves, didn't he? He went down twice after that. He ran with Felipe, got an elbow, went down, got back up, got another elbow, went down, got sent off. And then 5 minutes later, got a little bit of a stamp on by Godin.
Yeah.
Probably should have gone for Godin. And Alves got up and got back down and rolled around.
As you do in Spain.
It was a fantastic, he's just unrivaled for Alves, isn't he? He's up there with the best.
Yeah, he's a bad man.
Best bad reactions, like.
Good player, bad man.
Yeah.
And Barcelona also saying they're not going to sign another centre-back, which is odd.
Yeah, so that's just what we were talking about
last week.
Last week.
One fit one. Yeah. Good luck with that one to them, I suppose.
Yeah. Good luck coming up against Celtic.
Sam Raspi running. Sam Raspi Stokes. Stokes,
yeah. You saw Stokes drinking in with
Jinkin. Between some poor defenders.
In between some poor defenders. Well, as you're Barcelona, have some poor defenders as well. So.
Well, actually, I thought Mascherano had quite a good game.
It's quite telling that Mascherano is probably the best defender.
Yeah,
they've got good like centre midfielders who they play at centre back. You know, they could probably play Xavi and get away with it for a few games in the league.
Xavi is very ineffective in that game, actually. I think what it's shown is that in the same way we talked about, you know, marking Messi out of the game, very difficult to do. Taking, you know, basically, or Podolski is what we're talking about, you know, stopping that one trick he does. You can kind of, you know, it's not easy to stop Xavi, but Atletico kind of did it by booting everyone and giving them no time. And, you know, it really affected. Like, Barcelona were very bad.
The thing that, for Xavi's longevity, for him to keep going at the level that he was, he needs more protection there now. Because he's not as fast. I mean, he was never fast, but he's not as fast. He's not as strong anymore.
Speaking of not as fast, I just remember Neil Lennon that we just caught before. We didn't even talk about his celebration where he ran down the pitch and he said, he said, you know, I'm not as fast as he used to be, which was like, you're never fast. You're always very slow.
That was as quick as ever. That was definitely the furthest distance I've ever seen him run.
Yeah, good point. If you ran half
the pitch,
something I didn't like he did after though was at the end he walked down the tunnel before the match was over.
Yeah, it was an odd one.
It really annoyed me, to be honest, because it made
he did that because
it made it a bit arrogant, I felt, and it made it a bit about him, and I was like, this is a great night for your club, get out there. He just, you know, he did his celebration and then he did his walking down the club and I was like, all right, easy there, mate, you know.
Yeah,
the rest of them there,
because usually you wouldn't expect that with him.
Probably locked.
Probably,
it's probably somebody who's really threatening them.
Yeah,
anyway, right, lads, I think that's it then for this week of football. It's been a wonderful week of football. Predictions are going to get locked in tomorrow or something, I think, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Just get onto the Facebook and Twitter. I was very active on the old Twitters yesterday, so
keep an eye out on Monday on the Twitter, because transfer deadline day, I'm sure we'll be having some lols and some updates on that.
Better get my big nice football shaped tea mug. Got the caffeine into me last time and I stayed up for the whole thing, so
which stops at 11 o'clock.
Well,
you'll be up at 11 anyway.
Yeah, but it was throughout the day. It was for the entire day.
Yeah,
so
just keep an eye on Twitter. We'll be on there with some updates. You know, they might be real, they might not be. Who knows? Most of it's crapping anyway.
There's also a lot happening on the old Facebook there. A bit of a conversation about Mesut Ozil with a relatively close friend of ours. There's the video of, as I said, Godin.
Friend of the pod.
Not Godin.
Yeah.
Godin telling them to kick Messi. And there's a little weird story there about Armande Traore, a fake Twitter account, and it proposing something quite awful to a porn star.
Ooh.
So get on there and have a look.
Yep, the 12-pound podcast, just Google it. Get on there if you like us, you get the updates on there. 12poundpodcast.hotmail.com as well, and at 12-pound podcast on Twitter. If you want to get in touch, do, please. Thank you, Nick Lamar.
Thank you very, very much.
And thank you, Rory Tobe.
Thank you.
It's been a good week, lads. Good week for Celtic, good week for football. And
not for Liverpool, though.
Well, it was.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. Capital One Cup, here we come.
We leave it at that.
Nearly knock over the glass.
Nearly knock over everything.
Negligent old Rory Tobin, huh? Being negligent. You prick.
That's why they call me that. I mean,
Rory Tobin.
How else do you think I would have gotten that name?
These are all trivial matters, but what I had to worry about this week is I noticed that if I grew my hair a bit longer and in about 3 or 4 years, I actually think I'll have the same hairstyle as Brendan Rodgers, which is really upsetting to me. He's got that kind of little, not quiff, but the kind of little bit of fringe that just like is like a.
Because the sides
are
gone.
Yeah, the sides are going to go. No, not in the next 3 or 4 years. It's a bit of an overstatement. But, like, I don't really want to have his hairstyle. I don't think it would look that good on me. And I can't pull off the really dour, boring voice that he has. Unless I'm doing an impression of Michael Owen. I want your feedback. I want some help with this. I don't know how to cut.
If this is the way your hair is going to go, I mean, there's not much you can do.
That's true.
You have to live with it. I just shave your head. Yeah, you could just go bald.